songs all lined up with the service, the message here today. And there is no way that I cannot share this. There are some times when the Lord comes and you say, well, we had church and we don't need to preach, but today I need to share this. And this will just mean you stay in church 15 minutes longer than normal and you'll still be out before 12. So turn back again to Romans chapter 8. If you remember, we've had two services or two parts to our message series called In Christ. And I trust that so far that these couple messages have been a help to you. For myself, it's just been kind of a reaffirmation, a recommitment maybe, if you will. It's been good to study this. Just real quickly, let me briefly recap the first two parts this series. Am I truly in Christ? That's the question you need to be asking yourselves. Have I accepted His gift of salvation? Am I in a right relationship? Am I trying to be as committed to Him as I possibly can be with His help? The first part, first message I preached was called No Condemnation, and condemnation means judgment has been passed for doing something wrong, and somebody is guilty of doing something wrong. And we've talked about this already this morning. If you're human, you've sinned. That's a common problem. Humanity, that's the case. You're found guilty and worthy to receive condemnation and judgment for being a sinner. But if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He wipes the slate clean. You're no longer a guilty sinner, but a forgiven child of His. I ask you in this first part, who decides in your life, who resides in your life, and who presides in your life? And if the answer to all three of those questions is Jesus Christ, then you're on the right track. And you'll receive no condemnation. The second part was no cancellation. If you received Him as your personal Savior, then no outside factor or person can cancel that relationship. Oh, you can choose to walk away. He's not going to keep you from exercising your free will, but nothing else can cancel that salvation. Because of the gift that Christ offers, if we choose to accept this gift, then we can't have that gift canceled or revoked by anyone or anything outside of our own choice. And Paul gives three promises that we studied in the second part, which is the week before last. The first promise was the promise of the Spirit's guidance. And if you're truly allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you in every part of your life, then your desire should be to serve Him, and nothing can cancel that. He tells us about the promise of adoption. To be adopted is crazy special. A couple girls here know what that means, how that feels. But to have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords choose you as His child, that's awesome. He's our Abba Father. And the third promise is the promise of inheritance. And this one got me excited. An inheritance is something we receive here on earth if some rich relative passes away and leaves us a bunch of money. Unfortunately, that's not always a pleasant experience because you lost a loved one. But getting the money is really cool. But this inheritance from God is, there's no comparison to an earthly inheritance. And I'll just read to you what I read that Sunday. It is neither an earthly portion nor a heavenly portion, but God Himself who is their portion. It is not heaven they are to inherit, it is God, who is infinitely more greater and more glorious than heaven itself. So our inheritance isn't something special, like something we can hold or touch. It's God Himself. That's a pretty crazy inheritance. He is ours and we are His. Everything He is, He bestows upon us. So if we live in these three promises, then our relationship with Him cannot be canceled. Now let's go ahead and jump into our third part, which I've called No Separation. And just give me a moment. I was having a little bit of issues with our camera. Okay, it looks good now. Again, to reiterate, it is only by our own choice that we walk away from our relationship with God that it can be canceled or revoked. No, we can't live however we want to and expect that everything's going to be good and we maintain a healthy and vibrant relationship with Him. That's not how it works. But if we stay close and choose to stay close to Him and allow the Spirit to lead us, then we will not lose our salvation. So let's go ahead and read our scripture lesson for today's message. And that's found in Romans 8, starting with 28. And probably everyone could quote that verse. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, those He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Paul rhetorically asked the key question for today's message: who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The answer: nothing. And you know what's even more amazing? Even if you choose to walk away from Him, He still loves you. Nothing can stop Him from loving us. That's a crazy kind of love. There are three reasons I want to look at this morning that assure us of this promise that there is no separation from Jesus. And the first is, we rest in God's promise. What's the promise? We read it in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. How can personal tragedies be good? Paul doesn't say that all things that happen are good, but rather that God uses things for our good. And additionally, this is specific to the child of God. This isn't specific to an unsaved person. You have to be a child of God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, to those that love Him. How many of you can say that through times of personal tragedy, and I see heads nodding, that God used it for good, some way, somehow, even though, honestly, in the middle of it, what in the world, Lord, are you doing? You know what Paul also insists on here? The two words in that verse, notice them, we know. That means the only way we can know it is because we have faith in Him. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One. His wounds for me shall plead. Even though, or enough for me that Jesus saves, this ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. It's an old song and has powerful words. Through all the trouble we face, and I don't need to tell you that we face trouble because you probably, I know, if you're older than me, likely you face more trouble than I have. That's part of life. And most of you are older than me, so we're safe in that. But through it all, we have the confidence that God is working in us to make us better. Even though it gets painful, even though it might get dark, we know that we can rest in the promise that He's working, Sometimes I need to remind myself of that. So as long as we're trusting in Him, we cannot be separated from Him. And the second reason we can trust in the fact that no outside factor can separate us from God is that we rejoice in God's plan. Man, sometimes God's plans just don't make sense. You ever wonder that? Ever feel that way? You know what I mean? You're like, Lord, what is your idea here? Can you just tell me? Wait, no, I don't think I want to know. Have you ever had thoughts like that? I want to reread verses 29 and 30 again. And these verses have been cause for some confusion. And I hope I don't make a worse mess of it today. But if you are familiar with the doctrine that once saved, always saved, these are some of the common verses that are used. And I'd like to try to explain them a little bit here this morning. Verse 29 and 30, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, those He also called. Whom He called, those He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified." And at first glance, these verses would appear that there is such a thing as predestination. And if you know what that means, it's just simply before the beginning of time, God chose who was going to be saved and who wasn't. And however, I want to walk through some points that I found in my study Bible that kind of, at least for me, helped clear some of these things up. And we need to understand that God's ways are just so much more infinitely higher than our ways. His plans were established way before our finite minds were even created. So how in the world could we even begin to try to understand His plans? Why did I say we can rejoice in God's plan? We can rejoice because He has things under control. He knows what's going on. He knows what He's doing. We can rejoice because of His wisdom. Have you ever asked God for wisdom? Just about every day I ask God for wisdom. I need wisdom right now, Lord, please. But give me humility if You give me that wisdom. You know, I have to pray that too. Have you ever stopped and thought about the great wisdom of God? The giver of wisdom? He is the source of wisdom. And His wisdom is beyond anything we can imagine. Therefore, when verse 29 states that God foreknew, it means He knew before the beginning of time, before humanity was, as we know it, was created. He knew it all. Human knowledge is only after the fact. And let me explain. We can only have wisdom about something after we experience something. We can't have wisdom about something we've never experienced. In other words, a child does not know beforehand that putting a screwdriver in an electrical outlet is not a wise thing to do. But they will know after the fact. Okay, that's called wisdom after you've experienced it, or someone told you. But most times, you still don't trust someone's wisdom. You have to experience it for yourself. But you get the impact of this. God knew everything about everything before there was anything. That's a pretty feeble attempt of explaining, but it's the best I can do. So rejoice in the knowledge, in the wisdom that God's wisdom is so much higher than ours. Then we can rejoice because of His will. And this word predestined is used in verse 29. And predestination, how it's being used here, is the destiny of a child of God. It's not the destiny of an unsaved person. It's the destiny of a child of God. Many feel that means that God chose those that would accept or who wouldn't before the dawn of time. That's not correct. What this means is God gave each person a free will to choose. He doesn't force them. And it's referring to the condition of the believer after salvation. To bear the image of Christ, they're predestined to bear His image, then ultimately live in heaven. Make no mistake, God knew before time began who would and who wouldn't become a Christian. But He doesn't choose who's going to accept Him. He doesn't force it. And that's where it gets confusing, because for us as frail-minded humans, how can God know who's going to be saved but not choose for us? It's one of these things about God that we won't fully understand, and we don't need to. God's will is that all people come to know Him. That's printed in Scripture. If they do, then they will bear the image of His Son, and they're predestined to go to heaven. if they stay close to Him. That's God's perfect will. However, we live in this broken, mixed up world where people make very bad choices, and even though God wants everyone to know Him, He knows that not everyone will. But we can rejoice knowing that God's will is that if we accept His gift of salvation and stay close to Him by following His example, then our ultimate destination will be heaven. Nothing can separate us from that. Then we can rejoice because of His word. What word specifically? The word called in verse 30. What is this call? To love Him. God issues a call to all of humanity to love Him by accepting the sacrifice of His Son. And this call is to all people. Ask yourself, have I accepted this call? Yes, vocationally, everyone here has a different call. Some could be lawyers, some could be pastors, some could be farmers, doctors, lawyers, whatever a vocation you might walk into. But before all that, He calls us to be Christians. He calls us to obey Him. So if you've accepted His call, then rejoice. Which leads us into the second one, into the next one, which is we can rejoice because of His work. And what's His work? Justification. You see it right there. Those who called, He justified. Once one has accepted His call, then they are accepting His work of justification. And the biblical definition of justification is the freeing of someone from the entanglements of sin and Satan. Now, I'd say that's something to rejoice in. If you've accepted His call and you have experienced His work, then you have reason to rejoice. And also, if you are continuing to abide in this work, then nothing can separate you from Him. And last, and definitely not least, we can rejoice because of His wealth. And look at the word glorified in verse 30. Do you know what kind of wealth this is referring to? This is referring to the incredible thing that happens in our hearts, the glorification, the purification of our hearts. That's an incredible wealth. We could stop right there. But also it's referring to the ultimate glorification of our earthly bodies in heaven. That's a wealth that this world can't offer. I don't care how much you've invested in the stock market. It just won't happen. So have you accepted this glorification? Have you accepted this incredible wealth? It's an inheritance that we talked about earlier. And it's something worth rejoicing in. Now, that's an incredible plan God cooked up. And honestly, I feel like I didn't even come close to explaining it. But I guess that's okay because I don't understand it fully myself. It's so simple to receive, yet it's so complex that only God could have designed it. The bottom line is if we are following His plan and abiding in Him, then nothing can separate us from Him. And then the third reason that we can trust God in the fact that no outside factor can separate us from Him is that we reside in His protection. Isn't it nice to feel safe, to feel protected? A child is completely trusting in their parents to keep them safe. They don't even think about it. In fact, if you live in our home, there's extra opportunities taken to make sure the parents are doing their jobs of protecting properly. It's just one of the perks of being a parent. And one such example could be, hey, let's climb up on the roof and use my fishing pole to see if I can snag a piece of laundry that's mom's folding while she's not watching. You can pretty much guess who the guilty culprit was of that one. Dad wasn't home at the point in time. Otherwise, some other serious consequences might have happened. But that's a perfectly safe activity to engage in, probably. But to be safe in Jesus is beyond description. Verse 31 tells us, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's pretty awesome protection right there. With Him protecting us, there's no accusations. Verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. So picture it this way. We're in a courtroom. Satan is the prosecuting attorney. Jesus Christ is the defending attorney. God is the judge. And Satan brings up something to the judge that we did wrong. Listen close to this, John. But we've received forgiveness through Jesus. The Almighty Judge then asked the defense, "Do you have any questions?" And our defending attorney, Jesus Christ, says, "No questions, Your Honor. Paid in full by my blood." God Almighty then says, "You're justified. Satan has no grounds to stand on." Think about that. In verse 34, we see that no one can bring condemnation to us if we're God's child. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for us, then rose to sit in heaven beside God so that he can intercede for us. Revelation 12:10, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down.'" Right there, he's defeated. He's a lost foe. That almost gives me chills. Jesus Christ is on our side. No one can separate us from him if we stay close to him. And then, because of his protection, we have no desperation. When we go through difficult times and Satan is fighting, and sometimes there's this feeling of desperation. What am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? Kind of a panic. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Now imagine going through that same time without Jesus by your side. That's reason to panic. I don't know how anyone does it. And I'll speak from personal experience because I know me best. But I know there's times when Satan comes in like a flood and tries to get me discouraged to the point of giving up. You ever been there? You know what I'm talking about? Even though you won't maybe admit it, we're all human, we do. But it's through those times that Satan is trying to separate us from God by various means, whatever that may be. But if we look right there in verse 34 to 37, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. That's a pretty scary list. I don't really care for any one of those. Ever feel like you've been there? You're just stripped. Everything's gone. Then we can echo what 36 says, and I feel so often like, and I'll put this in my own words, but I feel like so often like I'm just beaten down for doing good, and I try to serve you, Lord, but why am I dealing with this? But then we have the awesome promise in verse 37, "Yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us." Through Jesus and our abiding relationship with him, we don't need to feel desperate. We will conquer, but we will do more than that. We will conquer and then some. We're more than conquerors. And honestly, I think, in my opinion, that more than conquerors isn't just we're defeating Satan, we're rising above that here. It's our destination in heaven. It's our reward in heaven. That's our more than conqueror. We're going to live in heaven. Satan is defeated foe, and yeah, sometimes it doesn't feel like that. I get it. But none of his tricks can separate us from God. And then the last thing we can rejoice in because of Jesus' protection is we will have no isolation. Do you ever fear being alone? I have talked or heard some older people talk about fearing the older they get that they're going to be alone. You know, I've heard, you know, somebody doesn't have children, so they don't have grandchildren, and then they'll be all alone. You know, I've heard that statement used. But I've learned through my relatively short time here on earth, and I feel like it's still relatively short, though it seems to be getting longer now, that there are going to be times when people simply forsake us for some reason or another. It may be intentionally, it may be accidentally, and I've probably done it to others, even though I wouldn't have tried to on purpose. But one thing we can rest assured of, if we are abiding in Christ, we are never alone. And really, what this last verse is saying, or last two verses, is that we may have to face not having anyone else in this world, but we will always have Jesus if we're abiding in him and allowing the Spirit to guide us. I want to reread these last verses, 38 and 39. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's an incredible ending to this chapter. Paul goes through this whole list of things that, well, this could separate us from God. Well, this could. And he got tired of listing them all. Then he just said any other thing. That covers everything. I know we have our struggles. I know we have our concerns. And if we were each to go around this church today, I'm sure every one of us could share a struggle that we're all struggling with, and we're all facing. And Satan is using each one of them to try to get us defeated. And yes, I'm there with you. I've got a stack of them myself. But nothing can separate us from God's love. And I brought this hymnal up here because after Jeff led us in this song, I'd like to read some of these words again, just in case you didn't listen. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all. Here in the love of Christ I stand. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry till final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. And here's where the last verse there comes in. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. So I'll ask you one last time. Are you in Christ? Are you really in Christ? Are you maintaining a vibrant relationship with him? If that's the case, then nothing can separate you from him. And that's a promise we can hold on to. Let's bow for prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for this incredible truth that in you we are safe and we cannot be removed. Because if it is our desire to walk with you and stay close to you, then there is no way that can be revoked. And I pray that you'll help each one of us to make a strong, fierce determination that we're going to walk with you every step of the way, because you know, we know that you're with us. And I praise you for that. Would you go with us? Would you help us to be the witnesses, to be the encouragers to others that we need to be the shoulder to cry on if we need to be that? And Lord, just help us, each one of us, to stand up and show your love to this needy world in a very special and powerful way. We thank you and we praise you. In your name, amen.